Hi, welcome everyone. This is Dr. Joanna Wells coming to you from Illuminating Minds podcast. And I hope you guys are all having a wonderful Sunday. It's wonderful having my kids back again. I haven't seen them in 2.5 months since Christmas and all that, and it's just awesome to have them back. It's a wonderful feeling when you actually feel complete when you got your kids back. So I want to talk about something very, very, very interesting and very important as well. I mean, I usually do, but this is very serious historical stuff. I spoke to a gentleman who has been putting documentaries together on Instagram, also known as Angelic Humanity. And he really opened my eyes to a lot of things, you know, things that I pretty much already knew, but more so about the Russian Revolution, something that I was not aware of. And I remember reading years ago as a kid in high school about the Tsars, and they're a CZAR, Christian Russian family. And they were the last of the Romanov dynasty. And they were a lovely, lovely family. They were very loving and very vulnerable at the same time. Like, they were just, you know, they weren't worried about the dangers around them. They were just very welcoming people and would want to look at you at the same eye level, look at the people that were considered peasants or whatever as the same level as them. They were a different type of people. And very Christian family. And what happened was, Nicholas, which is, you know, who was the husband, Nicholas, his cousin had a very dark, jealous vendetta against him and wanted the gold from the family. And he was a king. I forgot what his name was. I should look it up. Nicholas's family. Let's see. And anyway, he wanted the whole family murdered, okay? And so what he did, he asked Nathan Rothschild, who was a Zionist Jew, to fund this murder. And so it happened. And this was hidden from history for a very, very, very long time. We didn't know exactly how they died, but we knew that they were murdered. That's what I read when I was a kid, okay? And it was a very horrific murder. Absolutely horrific. They were executed, okay? They were lured in to believe, hey, we want to, by somebody, some outsider saying, hey, we want a family portrait of you guys. Please come down here, and we're gonna have tonight, and we're gonna do a family portrait. And they were so gullible, unfortunately, didn't think anything negative, and went along with the program. They went, they had their pictures taken, or they thought they were gonna have their photo taken. And what happened was something completely sinister. They were then lured into a room, and they were wondering, what the hell, what's going on? Four beautiful daughters, one young son, Nicholas and his wife, were lured into the basement with these men with guns. And they shot him to death, okay? Cold killing, executional style, whatever, shot him to death. And of course, it was the Bolsheviks that were blamed for the murders. But they were ordered by his cousin. They were ordered by his cousin because, well, one other reason was the fact that the Tsars did not want to join the League of Nations. That's what it was called before. It was called the United Nations. They were called the League of Nations. He didn't want any part of it. You know, they were a very peaceful family. They wanted to be at peace. So shortly after, you know, after the Bolsheviks murdered Nicholas and his family, which was in July 17, 1918, shortly after, here comes a humongous Holocaust among the Russian people. 66 million Russians were murdered by these people that moved in, the Zionists that moved in and then brought Stalin in. And this was also through Lenin, from what I was reading here. Vladimir Lenin and Yakov Sverdlov, who wanted, he was all part of this crap. Trotsky, this is supported by a passage in Leon Trotsky's diary. I'm going to read something in a minute here. It's an article based in, and I believe it was written by a Jewish guy. Now, I'm not here to blaspheme against Jewish people. I love the Jewish people, okay? If anything, my nanny, our nana, many years ago, my father had a good friend of his who was a Jewish lady from France, and her name was Fern, and she raised us when we were little kids. She was our nanny, okay? She was an amazing woman. I mean, I didn't know much about her then because she used to cook amazing food. That's all I remember, man. She was awesome, and she was fun. She was always fun with us kids. She loved us kids. And then when I got older, I saw her again. I was about 18. I had my son at 17, and she was always there sticking up for me, protecting my brother like a mother hen. And she was Jewish, and she told my mother about the horrible Holocaust that happened, that both her parents were taken by, you know, the Nazis. And last time she saw them, she was 5 years old, and her parents took her to a nun convent to have her protected, and she never saw her parents again. And her siblings, she didn't see 30 years later. So she would cry to my mom, telling her the story, and then we used to tell her, Fern, you need to write a book. Why aren't you writing a book? This is so important. You have so much to tell. And, you know, so if anything, I believe that her spirit lives within me because she was an activist. She turned into a feminist, though, later on. She, you know, she was more against men. She didn't like men. Well, she loved men. Okay, she loved men, I mean, as men. She wasn't gay. But the fact was, because her parents died in the hands of man, even though they were Nazis, she didn't care. She said they were men. It didn't matter. They were all men. It wasn't women doing these wars. It was men. So she always blamed the man for doing all of these atrocities in the world, because really, you got to think about it, a lot of it are led by men, I have to say, right? This goes beyond race. It's gender. So that was her belief, okay? And but she was a lovely woman. It was funny, she was good friends with my dad. And, you know, my dad kind of seemed very chauvinistic, macho, because he's a Mexican Latino, and here she is, all feminist. I don't know how the hell they became friends, but they shared the same energy. And she was a Virgo like me and a Sagittarius moon like me. It was really funny. It was like, my gosh, she should have been my aunt, you know? So she was an aunt to me. So I'm here to tell you, I wanted to clear that up before anyone says that I'm anti-Semitic. I am no way ever anti-Semitic. And if anything, I have studied the Kabbalah for many years, since I was 16 years old. I became part of the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn, and that was based on ancient Judaism, the mystic Judaism, which I love, which deals with the Kabbalah, and learning the Hebrew letters. I love Jewish food. I love the Middle Eastern way food. You know, we've lived in Egypt for a couple months. Loved Egyptian food. Loved the culture. So I feel very drawn to those areas, beautiful areas, right? And also, there is an indication there could be possibly, because it's really funny that whenever I did go to synagogues, I went to like a Kabbalistic center, the Kabbalah Center in L.A., when I was invited by a Jewish couple. They're wonderful people, and they totally swore that I was Jewish. They were shocked that I said, no, I'm not Jewish. And they looked at me, they go, my God, you look Jewish. Like I have the look. I have the Middle Eastern look. And I said, well, you know, my father's Spanish, French. That's all I know. But then the history goes on way back, because on my grandpa's side and my father's side, their last name is Mercado, and Mercado, it's market in Spanish. And back in the day during the Inquisition, the Spanish Inquisition, the Jewish people that were being getting ready for the Inquisition, they were being questioned of what their last surname was to differentiate who was Jewish and who wasn't. So what they would do is because they didn't understand Spanish, but they only understand some Spanish words. So a lot of them didn't, or they didn't understand They didn't have the Spanish last name, so they would look at a tree and say, "Ooh, Arbeles. My last name's, Jacob Arbeles," or something like that, you know? And then they look at other objects in Spanish and they say, "Oh, my last name is that," you know? And so that way they would prevent from going into the Inquisition and getting burnt up, right? So there were another family, a Jewish family, Sephardic Jewish, that said Mercado. Oh, no, our last name is Mercado, and it means market. Isn't it funny? Market, marketing. And they're like, "Oh, okay, yeah, okay, well, we're not going to let you go. You're not going to go into the Inquisition," whatever. And it's funny because in my family, I have family from Spain, France, and it goes all the way back. And the Mercado came from Spain. And they left Spain to come to Mexico. And a lot of them are Jewish. They're Sephardic Jewish with the last name Mercado. Okay. Now, nowhere did I ever see any Jewish anything going on in the family, but my dad swears there was some type of Middle Eastern something going on in the family. And when both my grandparents died, they ended up getting buried in the wall, not on, like the Catholics would bury them in a casket in the ground. They were buried in a wall, which is actually very customary for many Jewish people to be buried in the wall. So my dad thought that there were some things that were kind of like, you know, that didn't seem very all Mexican. It looked a little Middle Eastern, okay? But they were, you know, my grandma, my grandpa were very quiet about it all. You know, we didn't hear anything about anything involving the Jewish religion. It could be their grandparents or who knows. So if anything, you know, again, I am not anti-Semitic. So I just wanted to clear that out for everybody out there. And I have a lot of students that are Jewish. Wonderful, lovely people. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and read the article here. And the reason why I'm bringing this up right now is very important because we need to know, we got to go back in history. You know, see, I'm a crypto trader, by the way. I love crypto. And when we deal with the charts, we always go back to history. How did Bitcoin do back then? How's it going to do this year? How's it going to do 4 years from now? So it's the same thing applies with history. How did we as humans do back then? Is it going to happen again? So we always go back to history to see if something happened or not, right? And if something sinister happened, is this going to happen again? Do we see patterns of it happening again in our own countries, right? You always want to be prepared because just because it happened in the past doesn't mean it stays in the past, folks. It means there is a pattern here, just like what happened with the Spanish flu, right? Somewhere in the 1900s, there was a Spanish flu. And shortly after, you know, here comes the Titanic. Titanic sank and World War II happened. And here comes the dollar bill, you know, the Federal Reserve notes and all this crazy stuff going on, right? Well, there's a part of history that I wasn't really aware of, and I really want to read it to you. It's very important that you need to know this. And matter of fact, I saw the documentary by Angelic Humanity and I cried my head off. You know, anybody, I don't care what color you are, anyone getting murdered, shot, their parents or kids, I mean, I turn into a freaking emotional river, you know, a waterfall of crying tears, you know. It baffles me how people can do this to others. So I'm going to go ahead and read... I think it's Times of Israel. Okay. The timesofisrael.com is where I read this, and there's another one that I like to read as well. Russia's largest Jewish group protested a local bishop's claim, repeated by a justice ministry official, that the country's last czar was murdered by Jews for ritual purposes. Now, again, when you use the word Jew, the only problem is they tend to paint the picture of all Jews, and that isn't right. There are all different types of Jewish sects, Jewish people. Not everybody is the same. Just like, just because it was done by a Mexican right away, they label all Mexicans because we have the cartel in Mexico, they're going to label all Mexicans as cartel. It doesn't make sense, right? Not everybody's cartel because they're Mexican. I'm half Mexican, so I could tell you for sure I'm not cartel, right? So I'm just letting you know. Okay, so Marina Silva, a senior investigator for a special ministerial committee on the 1917 slaying of Nicholas II of Russia, said on Monday during a conference in Moscow that her committee will conduct a psychohistorical examination to find out whether the execution of the royal family was a ritual murder, Ria Novosti reported. Well, see, the thing is, after the murder, they ended up burying them and put some type of acidic something in their bodies where they wouldn't stink. You know, I don't know if they were able to uncover the bodies later on. They found the bodies. I don't know too much about that. But, you know, they buried them because they didn't want no one to know about what happened. At the same event, Father Tikhon Shevkunov, a Russian Orthodox church bishop, said that according to the most rigorous approach to the version of ritual murder, a significant part of the church commission on Nicholas II's killing during the Russian Revolution of 1917 has no doubt that the murder was ritual. The Federation of Jewish Communities of Russia, a Chabad-affiliated group with more than 100 affiliated communities across Russia, called the suggestions a shocking expression of an anti-Semitic myth in a statement Monday. Now, again, there was proof that it was they were Jewish. They were Bolshevik Jewish, but again, they were given the orders by somebody who was non-Jew too. It was by Tsar's cousin. So maybe if the cousin never put an order out, maybe they would have never died. Who knows, right? But the fact is, the king knew that if I put an order out, I'll get it done by the Rothschilds. I'll get it done, right? But it was his order. It wasn't the Rothschild's order. It was the Rothschild's order after they were given permission by the king. So I wanted to make that very, very, very clear. If anything, the king could have ordered the Italian mafia to go kill the czars. He could have ordered the Mexican mafia, the Chinese mafia to go kill the czars. You know, anything for money, right? So really, I'm trying to see things in both angles here, okay? And it's very important that we do, because it's going to lead to the present moment. Just stay with me here. All right, so we all think of this absolutely unacceptable, the Federation spokesperson, Borok Gorin, told Interfax in shocked first and foremost by the sheer absurdity of the allegations. The Euro-Asian Jewish Congress also condemned the same comments in a statement Tuesday. Claims that Nicholas was killed by Jews for ritual purposes had been limited before the conference to a fringe of zealous anti-Semites and promoters of sophisticated conspiracy theories. Amid rising nationalism and nostalgia for Tsarist times in Russia under President Vladimir Putin, a Russian court in 2010 ordered persecutors to reopen an investigation into the murder of the Tsar and his family, although the Bolsheviks, the radical wing of the Communist Party that eventually led it following the 1917 revolution, believed to have shot them in 1918, have been dead for many years. So it was the Bolshevik Jews. Now, these guys are radical, okay? They don't really believe in God. If anything, the God that they believe in would be Baal. And it goes all the way back to historical documents of child sacrifice. And it has nothing to do with the God of the Torah, okay? Because the rabbis who believe in the God of the Torah, they believe, of course, what is it they believe in? Thou shalt not kill, the commandment, right? The 10th commandment, the commandments say, thou shalt not kill. So, and I did hear a rabbi speak, there was a war, you know, the war between Israel and Palestine, and I was trying to figure out what the hell was going on. Why the hell is bombs dropping in Palestine and bombs dropping in Israel? What the heck's going on? And the rabbis are speaking out and saying, you know what? It's not us Jewish people. We're the one. We, if anything, we want peace with Palestine. It's not us at all. It's the Zionist Jews. And the Zionist Jews are like the Bolshevik Jews and the Khazarian Jews. They don't believe really in God. Or they were Jewish. They came from Jewish families. Maybe, I think, Ashkenazi. I think that's what I was hearing anyway. And they are just not, they are against the whole thing about God and the commandments and whatever. They're mainly, if you want to call Satanists, if you will, like they're into Baal and human sacrificing and meat, eating people and whatever. Okay, this is what I'm hearing anyway. Again, who knows? But these people are extremists. They are not, we would not consider them Jewish. So when they are just being called Jew, the Jew people did this. To me, I don't find that right. I think they need to clarify what type of sect of Jewish or Middle Eastern people did this, okay? So I just wanted to make that clear as well. Not everybody's like that. All right, so the outside prevalence of Jews in the ranks of the revolution has remained a mainstay of anti-Semitic vitriol in the area. During the Holocaust, it served as a pretext for the murder of countless Jews across Eastern Europe by self-proclaimed enemies of communism in Russia, despite the fact that communists already then severely oppressed Jews and any public oppression of their faith. The role of Jews in the revolution is still being used today to incite hatred against local Jews, including among devout Christians who are persecuted by the anti-religious Soviet authorities. Nicholas II's killers were obviously committed atheists who rejected any belief in any force except their own, said Gorin, who was a senior aide to Burrell Lazar, a chief rabbi of Russia. But the blaming of Jews for the Tsar's death is an absolutely anti-Semitic myth and used in anti-Semitic propaganda for several decades, which is why the Jews view this with great concern. And I can understand, because they don't want to be the target again, all over again, like what happened in Nazi Germany. Now, supposedly this was what sprung Nazi Germany to go the way it did, because according to Hitler, in his book Mein Kampf, that's all he ever talked about, was he had this hatred for Jewish people. But again, he painted them all with the same brush, which is wrong, okay? And then I ended up finding out something very interesting, that it could have been the Bolsheviks, the same Jewish people funding this this war against Russia, and not only the Tsars being murdered, but also 55 million people dying, the Russians dying from starvation, because all they had to do, you know, many of the rich bankers at the time, many were Jewish as well, or Zionist Jewish, they took control and said, you know what, we're gonna stop gas from coming in the country. How's that sound? And all they had to do, and Russia was a very cold country, so what happened? People starved to death. People froze to death. There was no food. And to a point where there was no food, it weakened the people so much, they looked like the people of the Jewish Holocaust. The poor little kids were looking like sticks and bones, and all they ate was grounded bone and clay with weeds. I mean, it was absolutely horrendous, horrific what happened to the Russian people. And there was a great hatred against the Russian people, and this is what they were saying, that the Bolsheviks hate the white Christian people. They hate the white Russian people. They're white and Christian, most of them, right? So there was this big hatred. It could go way back in history, because throughout history, I've read about how the same Zionists or Bolshevists or whatever, you know, had their cult worshiping Baal many, many years in many countries, and were expelled in many countries for doing human sacrifice, mainly children's sacrifice. And again, it's just a sect, this extremist sect of Jewish people, not just anybody. And so this fear and paranoia is what might have sprung upon Hitler in you know, killing all of the Jews and having them sent out to Palestine. But then I'm hearing another story here, that the same Bolsheviks that did all of this actually funded Hitler's idea to get the Jews, you know, the Holocaust and everything, and to get them out over to Palestine. Because what the Bolsheviks wanted, or the Zionists, or whoever that was in control at the time, they wanted to create a center power, which was Israel, by murdering off a bunch of Palestinians to bring in Israel. So it's just one killing after another, one genocide after another. First you got the Jews, the Russians getting genocide, then you get the Jews getting genocide, and then you get Palestinians getting genocide, and that's what's going on right now, folks. And that's what's happening between Israel and the Palestinians. And obviously it has to be about gold, not just Hamas, because, or gold or oil, has to be about oil. It's always about the money when you think about it, when it comes to that. When the bankers are involved, it has to be with the where the money is at. I have to drink something. But anyway, so I'm going to go ahead and read another article from another guy. Let me see here. And these articles are written by Jewish people, by the way. So let's see. This is real interesting. Oh, okay, here it is. This is what I wanted to read. Okay. This is protecting our Jewish community. Stop press Jewish Bolsheviks to blame for Holocaust. September 7, 2009. With thanks to Nothing British About the BNP. When Lee John Barnes, legal officer of the British National Party, proclaims on his blog, World War II, time to tell the truth. You wonder if at long last the BNP leadership is simply going to tell its followers that Nazism was a uniquely hideous ideology and that its innumerable crimes against humanity were epitomized by the Holocaust. But when you read the article penned as a response to Leo McKinstry in the Daily Express, and once again, the grim reality of BNP hits you between the eyes. Because this is a poisonous and revealing article that depicts the Holocaust as a defensive action against Jewish Bolsheviks. The Holocaust was the price ordinary Jews of Europe paid for the actions of the Bolshevik Jews in Russia after the Russian Revolution. The fear of the Bolshevik threat and the fact that so many Jews were Bolsheviks allowed Hitler to link Jew with Bolshevism. Therefore, the Holocaust lays at the feet of those Jewish Bolsheviks in Russia and Germany whose actions allowed ordinary people and ordinary Germans to link Bolshevism with Jews. Hitler used the linkage between Jews and Russia and the ideology of Bolshevism as a basis of his anti-Jewish propaganda, and this in turn led to the Holocaust itself. Those like Rosa Luxemburg, a Jewish Polish Bolshevik, were used by Hitler to create the perception that Germany was threatened with a Judeo-Bolshevik threat in Germany that linked the Jews, Russia, and Bolshevism, and this was unfortunately correct. The fact that Bolshevik scum like Rosa Luxemburg have statues erected in the honor in today's Germany shows how sick and degenerate Germany has become. She would have turned Germany into a death camp like the Soviet Union, a charnel house of horror and murder with gulags filled with Germans, Jews, Democrats, and nationalists. It was the action of Bolshevik filth like Rosa Luxemburg in Germany during the Spartacist uprising that allowed Hitler to equate Jews and Bolshevism and thereby prepare the way for the Holocaust. Okay? So, like I said, I mean, it's a big link. Okay, interesting. Sorry, I had to read something that my husband just sent me. Sorry about that. that would kind of got in the way there. So the issue that never gets debated in the media or the Hollywood movies is why did ordinary Germans participate in the Holocaust? There are two reasons. They were ordered to, as they would have been shot if they didn't, the troops involved in killings and shipping prisoners to concentration camps and concentration camp guards. They were terrified of Jewish Bolshevism as they saw what scum like Rosa Luxemburg did in Germany after World War I, and they feared that if the communists took power, what happened in Russia would happen to them. The Holocaust was not the product of Germans. It was a product of the fear installed in ordinary Germans by the Russian Revolution and the actions of Jewish Bolsheviks like Rosa Luxemburg in Germany itself. So Barnes correctly plays the anti-Semite card by repeatedly distinguishing between bad, very bad, Bolshevik Jews and all the other Jews, ordinary Jews. But how does this fit with his saying that Hitler was unfortunately correct to link Jews, Russia, and Bolshevism? There is no explicit condemnation in the article for the genocidal conclusions that Hitler and ordinary Germans, to use Barnes' phrase, drew from the alleged Jewish Bolshevik linkage. On the contrary, Barnes saves all his hatred for one side only. Murdering Bolsheviks, scum, communist jackboot Stalin, the insane butcher, Jewish Bolshevik, blood frenzy, Bolshevik, Jewish death, cult Soviet Union, a charnel house of horror and murder Bolshevik filth. The historical inaccuracy of the article is another matter altogether. When an article correctly states that millions of Poles were murdered in World War II, you have to rub your eyes to believe that there really is no mention here of Nazis. Instead, it's the murdering Bolshevik scum that were murdering millions of Poles. Instead, when Barnes discusses who bears responsibility for World War II and the mass murders of the period, the Nazis are once again invisible. Jews, however, especially of the Bolshevik variety, are certainly not. The tragedy is that whilst the Bolsheviks from Russia were killing Poles, the Jewish Bolsheviks in Russia that ran the secret police were killing millions of ethnic Russian Poles Russians, Poles, and their fellow Jews. Stalin, the insane butcher that he was prepared to allow the Jewish Bolsheviks that ran the execution gangs and the secret police free rein to murder millions of his fellow ethnic Russians and Jews due to his insane paranoia. These Jewish Bolsheviks were the driving force behind the Russian Revolution and the Soviet Union, and projected their self-loathing upon not just Russians, but also those Jews who were not militant atheists and communists like them. In their blood frenzy, anyone who was a nationalist, anti-communist, a Democrat, a religious Jewish, or non-Jewish was regarded as an enemy. The secret police NKVD and other security units were primary on Jewish death cult, determined to liquidate as many Christians, religious Jews, and non-Jewish Russians as possible. The war has to be laid at the feet of the Bolsheviks, Stalin, and the Jewish terrorists in the Empire of Horror created by Stalin and his willing executioners. No Russian Revolution, no Hitler. Barnes is canny enough to know that he shouldn't just be quoting Hitler on the Jewish Bolshevik tie-up, so he plays the British Patriot card and quotes Winston Churchill on the subject. Let us not forget the words of Winston Churchill himself. In an article in the Illustrated Sunday Herald on February 8, 1920, Winston Churchill asserted, "There is no need to exaggerate the part played in the creation of Bolshevism and in the actual bringing about of the Russian Revolution by these international and, for the most part, atheistic Jews. It is certainly a very great one. It probably outweighs all others. With a notable exception of Lenin, the majority of the leading figures are Jews. For sure, the BNP has come a long way since the 1980s and early 90s, when then BNP deputy leader Richard Edmonds would stand bedraggled on the corner of Brick Lane in his tatty green coat, peddling soggy copies of the anti-Semitic rag Holocaust News to bemuse locals. But it still hasn't gone that far, and it is beyond chutzpah that Barnes should be quoting the one world statesman who consistently warned against Hitler and led the stand against Nazism. When the BNP is able to show even 1% of Churchill's opposition to Nazism, then perhaps they will have the right to quote him. As for the other sources that Barnes had drawn upon for his noxious piece, he lists two at the end of the article. Information Clearinghouse reads as if it's a surplus store for left-wing news, sort of where TK Maxx meets indie media. It is a fairly typical amalgam of anti-Iraq and anti-Afghan war articles and the compulsory attendant sneering at Israel and Zionists. The fact that Barnes is referring his readers to it says as much about the modern left as it does the modern right, but that's another story. The letter IHR, however, will be brutally familiar to anyone who is a passing knowledge of the American far right and Holocaust denial scene. IHR stands for Institute for Historical Review, and it was for many years the world's leading supplier of Holocaust denial propaganda. It still trades in such filth, but the covers and titles of its propaganda are not quite as explicit as once were. Still, when a senior BNP officer repeats the Hitlerite line that World War II and the Holocaust were defensive actions against Jewish Bolshevism, and he then links to the IHR website, you know that not too much has changed, even if Richard Edmonds is no longer hanging about on the street corners. Okay, so now they're saying that it was a defense mechanism for Hitler. So Hitler could basically, and even though he's, dead a long time ago, could pretty much clear his traps that, okay, well, what happened? It was a defense, self-defense. But again, if the Bolsheviks funded Hitler, okay, hold on, turn this AC off. If the Bolsheviks funded Hitler, the Zionists funded Hitler, because where was Hitler getting all this money? Where the hell did the money come from? That was a lot of money and ammunition. Something has to be involved with the bankers. And you know what? The bankers, they're all about profit. They're all about war. They're all about money. They're all about having, playing both sides, making it look like they're on one side or the other, or really it's like a chess game to them, okay? The more war, the more profit that they make. They don't give a shit if people are getting chopped up and murdered or whatever. It's absolutely horrendous what has been happening throughout the ages. So why do I bring this up to you now? Well, now we're talking about, there was a talk with the Russian President Vladimir Putin talking to Tucker Carlson. And we're finding out, and I found out some other interesting things about Tucker Carlson and Putin. Tucker Carlson is a disinformant, and he is part of the CIA, and he's actually used to disinform people, okay? And Vladimir Putin, there's other things about him as well. And other words, many of these countries that make you believe that they're against something, they're really not, because they're being played. And they know it by, I just say the bankers. I'm not even going to say Jewish. I'm not even going to give it a racial slur, because I believe there's a little bit more than just the Jewish people or Jewish Zionists that are involved. There's other people participating, because when you think about it, this goes beyond race. This, if you give a human being so much power, so much gold, so much diamonds, what happens to that individual that is not trained on how to handle all that wealth? You know, they say, there's a saying, some people that are extremely wealthy, they lose it. They get crazy. You know, they get power hungry, or that they want power. Not everybody, but I'm just saying, some people, they become very power hungry. And this is just the fact that we are all human beings. Humans have a problem with that. So, you know, like David Icke likes to blame the reptilians. Some people want to blame the Zionists or the Ashkenazi Jews because they're not really 100% human or something, or homeopensis, that there's a different type of breed of humans that have the big elongated skulls. But really, you think about it, humans murder humans because of the ego. You know, not some evil demon out there trying to destroy people or vampires. It's humans killing humans. Simple as that, right? And how the heck can humans go so far to that extent? And so that's what I'm saying. Back in the day, there have been a lot of historical accounts that a lot of babies were murdered through human sacrifice. I mean, even here in the Mayan temples, babies were sacrificed. Aztecs, virgins, I mean, they played the sacrificial game, and so did the Zionist Jews, and who knows who else. I mean, there are other different, the Druids too, they did a lot of human sacrifices. So somewhere, clearly it's coming from somewhere. Somewhere that are involved in cannibalism, drinking meat, dipping your bread in blood. I mean, this is what supposedly these type of extremist Jews were doing, that actually worship Baal. And they don't believe in an afterlife. And I'm like, well, that's not how the Kabbalists are, because I've studied Kabbalism for many, many years. And it's all about the belief of an afterlife and actually leaving your body during this time, astral projection, using your psychic abilities, psychic talents to rise above the planes from Malkuth to Yesod to all the other planes, all the way to Ein Sof. And Ein Sof is the God, and the God, there is no gender. It is just feminine, masculine energy, which is very similar belief system as Neoplatonism. Very, very similar. You know, they talk about the all, the one, you know, the all in one is all is in everything. That's pretty much how the Kabbalists think too. And it's based on love and self-improvement. It's not based upon human sacrifice and killings and all of this stuff that the Bolsheviks were doing. Okay, or the Zionists were doing, or I just say extremists were doing. So I just wanted to get things a little bit clear, because what could happen, it can make just a normal, ordinary person who does maybe not have a background with Jewish people, Jewish friends, or raised by Jewish people like we were, to think all Jew people are bad. And that's very dangerous. It's very, very dangerous. We have to be very careful with our words. We need to be very careful, because if this gets out like that, then the anti-Semitic thing is going to happen all over again, where they start to profess that, oh, all Jews are evil. And then the killing of the Jews will happen all over again, okay? And I'm bringing a lot of this up now because Vladimir Putin is talking about, you know, they ended up bombing Ukraine because they're getting into Nazism again. Zelensky is all about Nazism. Well, look what happened in Ukraine back in the Russian Revolution. A lot of, they were murdered as well. A lot of Ukrainians were freaking murdered, just like the Russians. I mean, they were right next to Russia. And so, and Zelensky ended up going to Canada to say hi to what's his face? I'm trying to think of his name again. Trudeau. And then they're applauding a Nazi. And I'm thinking, okay, so what? And me, I'm always asking questions. What is going on? Why are they doing all of this? What the fuck is going on? What's happening here? Why Nazism all over again? What's going on? So they have a thing, a vendetta against the Jewish people. But then again, it's like they can start spurring something, a movement against the Jewish people again. And then they'll probably start bringing up the past. Oh, look what happened to the Russian Revolution. Of course, the Russian Revolution was absolutely sad. You know, absolutely horrific, horrifying what they did. And I don't even want to tell you what they've done. I mean, from what I've seen in the videos, I wanted to puke what they did to these people, okay? It actually breaks my heart. It really breaks my heart. Anybody who does anything to people. So, let me see. There's another article I wish to read. I hope you guys don't mind this. I mean, I'm very passionate about this, and I really want to get this information out because we're hearing that there's a candidate that's about to run Mexico. She's Jewish, okay? And her family lineage, her grandparents are Ashkenazi, and the reason why there's a thing about the Ashkenazi Jews. It goes all the way back to the Hyksos. And Michael Tsarian has spoken about this. Ralph Ellis has spoken about the Hyksos at the time, who murdered the Aryan race back in the time of ancient Egypt, before the pharaonic times, I believe. And I went to Egypt. I went to Giza. We lived there for 2 months. And the moment I approached the Egyptian pyramid of Giza, the Great Pyramid, I started crying. I didn't know what the heck I was crying about. And they were not tears of joy either. There was something that my soul knew, that there was a death of something. It was horrible. And I cried my head off like I was missing somebody. It was a sorrow. Something like my soul experienced that at one time. Okay, and there was a really bad bloody war back then between the Hyksos and the Aryan race, and a lot of the Aryans were Egyptian. They were the ones with the red hair. And it's funny because Michael Tsarian brought this up many years ago, you know, and I thought, whoa, this is very interesting. And then the Queen Scotia was talked about as well, and how she had a lineage with it was Egypt and the Celts, something to do with that lineage. And I believe it might have been just very Atlantean type of energy as well. You know, they were, a lot of things have happened. But, you know, we understand, I understand. War has been going on forever, right? It seems like it's been going on forever to get rid of these people, that people. Heck, I'm sitting in the middle of the Americas here where many of the American Indians were slaughtered, you know, by the Spanish hands. And America is North America, South America, all of Mexico is part of America, by the way. So they were Native American Indians. Some of them were black, some of them were brown. They were all different dark shades of dark colors, and the redskin Native Americans. You know, they were murdered and butchered in the name of America, right? Bringing in the United States, all in the name of United States, and all the patriots all, you know, roaring for their country. And I'm thinking, yeah, the reason why it became your country because of a lot of Indians had to get chopped up and murdered and mutilated just for you guys to come in, just for you Europeans to come on in, you know, and whoever else was coming on in at the time. So there was always murder and bloodshed, and there's murder and bloodshed with the COVID pandemic. Murder and bloodshed all over again. And look what's happening in Israel right now. You know, again, so going back to the rabbi, real quick before I read this article, the rabbi, he goes, just letting you know, it's not all Jewish people. It is the Zionists. Those are the ones that are bombing. They control the Jewish people. They treat them like shit. This is what I was hearing from a beautiful, and they're such beautiful people. They're gorgeous people, by the way. They're absolutely beautiful. Beautiful lady. Who's a Jewish lady, and she was like, please help us. You know, they're having us, they're putting like these ankle bracelets around them, having like house arresting their own Jewish people, and that they had to get their shots, they had to get these vaccine passes, and all this crap. It was so sad. And she's like, please help us. But she was reaching out for help, poor thing. You know, so it's not just, oh, the Israelis, you know, they're all together in on this. No, it's not like that. Just like the Americans are not all in on wanting to murder people from all over the world, you know. These are the people that have all the money, the bankers, the people that are high up there that are orchestrating all of this crap. They want racism. They want people to fight against each other because the more divided we are, the more we can be controlled. They don't want people to stand together. They don't want people to realize that we're all the same, because we are. Doesn't matter what race. We come from cultures. We come from different cultural backgrounds. We all have different stories. And it's beautiful. And then this is why I took my kids all over the world. We went to Thailand. We lived there for almost a year. We lived in Egypt for 2 months. We lived in Ecuador for a month. And then we went to Peru. We were all over the place, really. We live in Mexico, even though we are Mexican-American. But I didn't want them to grow up in a freaking bubble like America. Like, oh, America's perfect. We're the greatest country in the world. Bullshit. But yet they like to drop bombs in other countries, and then they're also helping Israel out. You know, a lot. And I'm not saying the American people, the little people. No, I'm talking about the high ups, okay? You know, I'm American too, Mexican-American. I was in the Army, by the way. Hoo-ah. I was in the Army, 31 uniform, Signal Corps. Went to Fort Leonard Wood for my nine-week basic training, then went to Fort Gordon for my school for 31 uniform. We were doing Signal Corps work, okay? So I was in the Army to fight for my country. I was a very patriotic person, but until I figured out the truth, and it was like, holy F, right? So now this Jewish Ashkenazi lady is coming in, and she wants to run for office. I'm worried about that. If it was just any Jewish lady, maybe not, but maybe I'm paranoid too. Maybe I'm worried. But I'll tell you right now, if she gets in the office and if she is going to utilize the same practices of Zionism, then we can kiss Mexico goodbye. But if not, I could be completely wrong. She could be an awesome Jewish lady, not part of that crap, and everything's going to be beautiful. Maybe she makes Mexico into a better place, you know? We really don't know anymore, do we? We really don't know. But I do get worried about all of that, because I'm here in Mexico now, and I am Mexican blood because of my father. I was born in America. My mother's from Germany. Her family's from Germany and England and Scotland. But, you know, her last name is German. And after the Nazi war, everyone thought she was a Nazi when she was a kid. Her last name was Baumann, you know, at the time. Oh, you're a Nazi. You know, so there's a lot of... mind control is what I'm saying. Oh, they see so much war with Nazism, and then right away, if you say you're German, oh, you're a Nazi. And I'm Mexican-German here in Mexico because I got a Mexican last name, which could be Jewish, by the way, Mercado, which could be a Sephardic Jewish thing, and it could be in Baumann, which is freaking German. So shit, I'm pretty screwed. I don't know about you. Man, I'm screwed. But yeah, you know, anyway, I'm going to go on and read another article. I have to. Today is my day that I just have to share my views. And I love for you to comment. Anybody can comment. You're free to comment. But just know, please, no hateful talk and speech. I'm not here. I don't hate anybody. Please. I love everyone. I really do. I'm not against any race. I love different races. I love different cultures. So just letting you know. Let me see here. Let me find the other article for you guys. And I'm reading, a lot of the articles are from Jewish people, by the way. Jews, Bolsheviks, blood libel. Okay, here's one that goes all the way back. This is what I was talking about the blood libel, okay? And this is on the Jerusalem Post. So this is not from non-Jews, by the way. So far, I've been reading from Jewish people. I'm not reading from non-Jewish people. I like to see what their take is, because if anything, they are Jewish. They would know something, right? The 20th century saw the rise of a new blood libel, which led to the Holocaust and remains with us to this day. Here's the thing about anti-Jewish canards. Despite what their purveyors may think, they aren't insults, they're compliments. These old tropes may have little grounding in reality, yet even so, they redound to the credit of Jews. After all, Jewish people are believed by their dictators or detractors to be masters of the world. They own all the big banks, run all the important media outlets, and engineer the rise and fall of entire nations, woe, beautide, anyone who opposes them. They also have a finger in every pie, apparently. Both Hitler and Stalin were ostensibly were mere puppets in Jewish hands, or at the very least, the Zionist, as an anti-Semitic code word, has it, were allied wholeheartedly with these brutal dictators, notwithstanding their wholesale murder of Jews. Then again, the Holocaust never really happened, did it? It was sarcastic. Former London Mayor Ken Livingstone, a Labour Party stalwart, recently gave voice to this view by asserting that Hitler was supporting Zionism before he went mad. Is there anything then that Jews can't or won't do? From a Jewish perspective, though, there has been a bit of a problem. In the fever dreams of anti-Semites, Jews may be running the world left and right, but in reality, they have been largely powerless in the face of frequently murderous anti-Jewish animus, rather than being the masterminds of tyrannical regimes such as Hitler's Germany, Stalin's Soviet Union. Jews were among their first victims. Every anti-Semitic libel ever invented has been predicated on the same fallacy that the Jews, who happen to be among the most factious people on earth, work in cahoots always and everywhere toward a shared goal, which is the subjugation and exploitation of non-Jews. As preposterous as this assumption is, anti-Semitism is rarely just an excuse for scapegoating, a means by which bitter, hateful people can vent it. It certainly serves that purpose. Yet anti-Semitism usually is a worldview or a key component of one, which allows its holders to reduce all the ills of the world to a singular cause, the self-serving machinations of a numerically insignificant yet preternaturally devious people who punch well above their weight. The contents of anti-Semitism often depend on cultural context, but they invariably rest on the assumptions that the Jews are expert manipulators who stop at nothing to have their way. And they do so by playing a double game. Jews are ruthless billionaires, profiteers, even as they are also anti-capitalist agitators. They are rootless globalists, except when they are hidebound blood and soul nationalists who lord it over a strip of stolen land they call Israel. Nowhere were such inherent contradictions more pronounced than in Nazi propaganda, which portrayed Jews as radically inferior degenerates and yet credited them with posing an existential threat to Germany through their devilishly clever schemes. Such dichotomies may not make much logical sense, but they can forever regenerate and metastasize because they constantly mutate. Accordingly, the main drifts of anti-Semitic currents have changed with the times, reflecting contemporary fears. In medieval Europe, it was the Jew as well, poisoner and Christ killer that exercised, overreactive imagination, exactly. Then with the rise of the capitalism came to the Jews of Croesus, rich banker and financial speculator. Yeah, I can get his point though. I can get his point totally. I understand that. The 20th century saw the arrival of the Jew as Bolshevik revolutionary. His putative aim now was to topple Western nations with their capitalist economies through violent class struggle. This one was a curious specimen, a godless Philistine who was also somehow animated by time-honored Jewish religious beliefs and practices. It is a trope of Judeo-Bolshevism that concerns Paul A. Hainbrink, a historian at Hootgers University in New Jersey, and a specter haunting Europe, an edifying new book that serves as a valuable addition to the corpus of scholarship on the long history of anti-Semitism. The notion that revolutionary communism was primarily or even solely a Jewish movement first gained traction in the cataclysmic upheaval that followed the Great War. The true victors of the war included the Bolsheviks in Russia, who managed to pull off an unlikely feat and seize power from the tottering Tsarist regime in the fall of 1917. The Bolsheviks' stunning takeover sent shockwaves across Europe, already reeling from seismic national plot of world dominion. What happened here? Oh, I hate it when it happens. When I'm trying to read and then this thing just keeps doing something here. Many people came to believe that the Bolsheviks' victory, which would inspire similar revolts from Germany to Hungary, could not be explained simply as the outcome of historic happenstance. No, it must have been the result of a vast, nefarious conspiracy. But who could conceive such an odious plot of world domination? Only the Jews, of course. The post-war communist uprisings were Jewish-led attempts to undo the very foundations of Christian Europe by remaking the continent with one copycat revolution after another. Or so many European leading lights, from Eugenio Pirelli, later Pope Pius, to a young Adolf Hitler, theorized. They saw Bolshevism as a distinctly Jewish political movement cloaked in the mantle of communism, which itself was supposedly a Jewish ideology. Even non-Jewish Bolsheviks, and there were plenty of these, came to be deemed Jewish by association. When in doubt, Sherjev le Juif. In the early 20th century, many Jews were indeed drawn towards radical left-wing movements, seeing them as harbingers of liberation and emancipation for the wretched of the earth, including impoverished Jews in fly-bone Eastern European Shetlets. Jews featured disproportionately among the leaders of communist uprisings that swept Europe after the war, Kurt Eisner and Rosa Luxemburg in Germany. Bela Kun and Joseph Pogany in Hungary, Leon Trotsky and Grigory Zinoviev in Russia. Yet their Jewishness was often incidental and hardly an animating factor behind the revolutionary zeal. For many of these diehard communists, Jewish ancestry was an accident of birth, not a meaningful attribute of identity. A bug, in other words, not a feature. As they turned to communism, all of them broke with the Jewish millennium. And anyway, I'm going to be putting these articles in so you guys can read the rest. For some reason, I don't know what's up with my thing, but every time I read, it's like it keeps jumping around and I'm losing my place here. But anyway, that's what he thinks. That's his idea. But really, like I say, extremist. You know, I don't care what race they are, what religion. If anybody can go and actually go and skin a person and eat them alive or do some horrific things, you know, whoever it is, to me, that's Hannibal. That's Hannibalistic. You know, it's Hannibalistic crap, right? And it's horrible. Either way, it's horrible. Any of the massacres are absolutely horrible. But there was another article I wanted to read that went all the way back in time, ancient time, about the what happened. It was a ancient Jewish and Baal was considered a Canaanite. Okay, there we go. The Canaanites, the very ancient people. Who is Baal in Judaism? Who is Baal in the Bible? The Bible, Baal is a name given to several different deities who are designated as false gods or idols. However, it is most often used to describe the specific Canaanite Phoenician god of fertility and rain. Basically, Baal is associated with Beelzebub, demons, and the devil. But Canaanite, Phoenician, which are also later known as Venetian, from what Santos Bonacci was mentioning as well. So there is a cult, and there has been a cult, of Baal worshipers. And some of them, like what the rabbi was saying, you know, from Israel, they're like, they're not really the real Jews anymore. They're Zionist Jews, so they're the ones that would be worshiping Baal. Okay, so they broke away from God, Yahweh, and they're worshiping Baal. And Baal is all about sacrificial babies, babies being sacrificed and all of this cannibalism crap going on. So, and a lot of it is spurred from the Canaanites. So we got to go way back. It's just history so interesting, isn't it? Yahweh was considered the god of the storm back in the day, according to the Canaanites. And they were all... The Canaanites were actually pagans. They were pagans believing in different gods. And then here comes Judaism from the Canaanite people, I believe. And then here comes all these other religions. Here's Christianity. All these other religions spring forth from there. So, yeah, we're, you know, trying to understand and me asking these questions. You know, I want to know what the hell's going on. I want to know what's going on because from what I'm hearing is they're going to be bringing the same threat of Russia, they're going to be bringing it into the Americans of the United States, because now they're trying to cut their food supply. They're putting a stop to diesel fuel, which is what they did with Russia. And, you know, there's a lot of things that are being orchestrated. The whole Biden, Trump, I heard they're all Jewish, or they're of the Zionist Jews, again, or the Baalians, I would call them. I wouldn't even call them Jew, Baalians, or people that are into Baal, maybe. And even Alex Jones, it's really funny, Alex Jones is married to a Jewish woman, and their children are Jewish. And I was reading an article about that he's married to a Jewish woman. But yet he's against Jewish people. But Hitler was supposedly Jewish and against Jewish people. So what the hell's going on? Zelensky's Jewish. His father fought against the Nazi, but yet they're against Jewish. I don't know what the hell's going on. They're all for Nazism. So that's when you have to scratch your head and ask yourself, what the frick is going on? What's happening here? And so Alex Jones, he pumps out anti-Semitic stuff all the time. He says, against the Rothschilds, against the Zionists, the Rockefellers, you know, of course, there's the bankers and how they happen to be Jewish. But constantly pumping that out, pumping that out, pumping that out. You see what I'm saying? A lot of stuff being pumped out to go against a certain people. Think about it. Why? Why do they keep pumping out? It's just the bankers. Let's get to the point. You know, the people running the show, the people that are really responsible, not just a people, the Jewish people, they're all different types of people. Go after the ones, like say if it was Nathan Rockefeller Rothschild that actually went after the Tsar, go after him. Go after the king, actually the king, the cousin of the Tsar that ordered the killings, the one that ordered it in the first place. But they don't want to see that. They want to blame someone else, right? So it's very, very important that you see this, because from what I was hearing in some of the documentaries, what happened to Russia, and I'll say this again, back in the Russian Revolution is coming to America, okay? I already saw it happening years ago when they started stealing people's kids, the CPS. I said, oh, this is a satanic thing. I mean, they're taking your kid. They're going to take them and friggin' mutilate them in ritual shit. Obviously, I already knew this. I already knew what was happening. They were deliberately stealing people's kids from them. The government doing this. And who's behind the government? The pedophilia crap going on. And, you know, the pedophilia rings. And what's his face? The guy that said that they said that he hung himself in prison. Epstein, he's actually a Mossad. You know, he's pretty high up there. It's a pretty high up there rank. And like works for the CIA, or he was a mouth for the CIA, or what the hell, reporter. I mean, there's a bunch of shit that we really don't know, but we are being fed a bunch of shit, a bunch of bullshit. So it's good to really do your research. And before you start hating other people, hating other races, ask why. What's really, really going on? Because like I said, I have a lot of friends that are Jewish. I have students that are Jewish. I was raised by a Jewish lady for some time, as you know, she was our nanny, a very loving lady. And I can tell you from my experience, many of them are not like that, like what I've experienced, okay? Wonderful people. I mean, I went to the Kabbalah Center. I freaking fell in love with the Kabbalah Center. They actually have one here in Merida. I'm going to go check it out, you know? Beautiful teachings to get people to really move into their higher self, connect with the source within. And, you know, they put the Kabbalah chart apart in like scientific ways. It's really beautiful, which is very much based on quantum physics as well. Quantum physics and the Kabbalah, the map of consciousness is very, very similar to each other. But anyway, that's a whole other topic there. I want to get into the whole Kabbalah. But just wanted, you know, I worry. I worry when there's anything against a people, you know, any race of people. Oh, you better blame these people. This it gets a bit scary, because then, you know what? Some of us could be in the middle of the mix here, you know? So I guess we'll see what happens here in Mexico if that lady does get elected. And I hope the best. I hope she's an honorable Jewish lady, honorable Jewish woman who follows the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill, you know, not like these other people. And if she's honorable, then she can make this country great. She could make it very wonderful. And I do believe that. But, you know, we have to be very mindful about what is to happen, and know that, hey, make sure that it's not going to be Nazi Germany all over again, and Russia all over, Russian Revolution all over again, or even in Africa. Look what's happening in Africa right now. The same shit is happening. The famine, you know, they stop things with the African people. They can't trade. They can't do anything. Many people have been starving. It's been going on for years and years and years, so I can't forget about that. A lot of people starving. And in Asia, you go to Cambodia. There was a little boy, you know, we went to Cambodia many years ago. Poor little boy could barely walk. He was crippled. And all he wanted was Coca-Cola. So we gave him water because I don't believe in Coca-Cola. I said, no, baby, you need water, you know. Poor thing, we gave him a dollar. He looked at it like it was nothing. He didn't understand what the heck it was. He just reached out for our water, poor baby. Okay, we've seen a lot of poverty. We've seen it. We've been to Egypt. We've seen poverty in a lot of places all over the world. And it's not fun. And you got to realize, you know, there's a lot of control, but with a lot of these high people, they're not all Jewish, though. There's people from Asia that have a lot of control. Look at China. There's not everybody's Jewish. There's all different parts. There's, you know, like I say, we can talk about the Russian mafia. We can talk about the Mexican mafia, the German mafia. I mean, there's all mafia all over the world. But we can't paint them all with one brush. We have to really do our research of really happening so we can educate the people correctly so that everybody could be aware of what's going on, who this wolf is out there trying to get these people to mutilate each other, which is absolutely horrendous. All right, guys. Anyway, I'm going to get going. Hope you enjoyed the show. Had a lot of information, I'm sure. Check out Angelic Humanity, Angelic Humanity, on Instagram. You'll find his documentaries on there. They're very, very educational, you know. Of course, do your own discernment in anything, but very educational to get started on. And I'm going to be on Freedomizer Radio in a couple weeks, and I'm going to be starting on Sundays and Wednesdays. I got to look at the times. I got to remember the times. And it's going to be in the evening. I know that. So I will let you know exactly. Freedomizerradio.com. I'll be there Sundays and Wednesday evenings. Just go ahead and check it out. In 2 weeks, you'll be seeing the post up there, and I'll be there. So, and you guys can call in and everything. All right, guys. Much love and light. Have a wonderful, beautiful Sunday with your families. And I will see you another time. Take care, guys. Bye for now.